Okay, James chapter number 2. So we're continuing our Do You Believe series. This is week number 3. Making tough decisions, making tough choices. And one of the points of this series is to promote a life that is external. A life that is external. In fact, one of our core values here at Adventure Church of Yuba City is that we would be intentionally external. And why do we have to be intentionally external? Because in my experience, over time, most churches become internal in their focus and internal in their understanding. Let's take care of our needs. Let's take care of what's happening within these walls. And so we want to make sure that our focus is always that which is, you know, external and outside these walls. So, you know, why do we do events like a fall festival like we had this weekend? Just a big, huge thanks to everybody who contributed, Nicole and all of her volunteers. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful evening. And here's just a couple of quick pictures. And how many of you were here for the fall festival? And we had this jail. We set up a jail over here. It's kind of a fun little fundraiser thing. And is Nicole in here? Is she back yet? No, she's still next door. I was like, really? Like a jail? Like, I don't, you know, I'm not quite seeing it, you know? It's going to be great. $116 that thing raised, which means there were 116 people that got arrested and incarcerated throughout the evening and were put into the jail. It cost $1 to send someone to jail. So just a ton of fun, great opportunity to just love on our neighbors and our community. Easter egg hunt, the Be the Church Sunday, using our building for different events and opportunities like we've said on Facebook. Why do we do all that? Because we want to incorporate, we want to make sure that part of our DNA, part of our culture, one of our core values is to be intentionally external and blessing and encouraging. It's not about us. It's about what God would have us do in this place that he's given us. Because if we're not careful, everything can simply start revolving around us. And that is, friends, the antithesis of Bible Christianity. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the impact God wants us to make. You know, consider Jesus for a moment. In his life, he came what? Not to be served, but to what? To serve. I mean, if anybody had a right to have throngs and have, you know, parades and have all the, you know, and make it all about himself, Jesus had every right to do that, and he didn't do that. So why do we spend so much time and energy and effort making things about ourselves? You know, I refer to it as Galaxy Greg, you know? Just, you know, everything kind of revolves around me. You know, what makes life easier for me? What makes things better for me? You know, thinking back to if you have children and thinking back to those times, those pivotal moments in your child's development where, you know, they said their first words. Maybe it was dada or it was mama or ball or whatever it might be. You know, you remember those moments. You remember when they took their first steps. You know, they're pulling themselves up on couches, pulling themselves up on, you know, coffee tables, and then they break away and they fall, and then they break away and they start taking those steps. I don't remember any of that stuff because I'm just not good at that kind of thing. But my wife assures me that those things happen. They did say their first words and they did take their first steps. But one thing that I will never forget, one thing that I will always remember, is the very first time my son, who's now 20, so this was several years ago, when I was sitting on one side of the room and the remote control was sitting on the other side of the room, and I just said, I said, "Hey, Joshua, would you go grab the remote for Daddy?" You know, grabs the remote, brings it to Dad. He brought it to me, and I had this, like, epiphany. I was like, boom, like, I have a servant. I have my own miniature servant. We've created, and I was like, we need more kids, you know. This is awesome. What a great thing. Hey, Joshua, you know, I need a soda out of the fridge. You go to the kitchen for me? You know, they love to do that. Now, not so much now, but there was a time, you know, when they love to do that. And why is that? Because so much of life, so much of life revolves around ourselves. I mean, think about the innovation, all the innovation that we see around us. What is all that innovation about? It's about making our lives easier. We want life to be easy. We want life to be simple. When's the last time, speaking of the remote, you know, the remote control, you know, when is the last time you got up to manually change the channel on your television set? I don't even remember, you know, and I remember back in the day when I was growing up, not only did we not have a remote control, not only did we have to manually, you know, turn the dial to the, you know, the six stations that we had on the TV dial, we had the bunny ears, and you use the aluminum foil to try to get the bunny ears just right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you? Yeah, yeah. You kids, like, the struggle was real. You have no idea the struggle that you've missed out on. You know, we're just like, you know, and someone will be like, you know, you'd be sitting in the chair, and somebody would just, you're like, don't move, don't move, stay right there. You know, don't move. I'm like, I can't stay right here. I want to watch the TV too. You know, I'm not just here for you. Just innovation, you know, make life easier. You know, how many of you still have in your car, a roll-up door, window roller? How many of you had one of those in your car? Wow, far fewer than we're at first service, right? Okay. Wow, what do we do now? We've got the automatic, you know, and now we don't even have to hold the button down. You just have to press it one time and it goes all the way down. I mean, heaven forbid, you know, we have to hold our finger on the button for the 2.5 seconds it takes for your window to roll down. You know, and I'm convinced too, you know, there's always this talk about, you know, obesity and weight issues, and I think it's because we're just not getting the kind of cardio that we used to get. You know? I mean, think about the cardio we used to do. And let alone if you had to get the other side, you know, you're driving and you're trying to like roll down. Anybody remember those days? Yeah, man, I was there. So life is just, it's about convenience. It's about ease. And if we're not careful, that seeps into this mindset. Oh man, it's all about me. It's all about my convenience. We bring that into our mindset. We bring it into our relationships. We bring it into our Christian life. And friends, that is just the antithesis of Bible Christianity. Certainly not against innovation, not against life being easier. You know, we all carry these little miniature computers in our pocket, right? And we've got things at the touch of a button. And sometimes not even that. We can just talk to our phones and things will happen, okay? But if we're not careful, that innovation and ease will breed a culture where everything is about me. And it will seep into all of those things we talked about. We are called to be putting our faith into action to serve others, not to be served, but to serve and to impact the people around us, to be impacting our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, our coworkers, our family. It's not about you, it's about them. How does God want us to put our faith into action? So that's what we're talking about in this Do You Believe series. And let's start in James chapter number 2. Okay, James chapter number 2, verse number 26, we read these words. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. If your faith is not being demonstrated, it's not being backed up by good works, it's not doing any good to the people that are in your life. Not your family, not your friends, not your coworkers, not your classmates, not your community. If we just keep it inside and keep it all about ourselves and not let it demonstrate, it is dead to those around us. And that's not the kind of people we want to be. That's not the kind of church we want to be. So we're taking the time to examine some of these truths. So here's a little bit of where we've been, okay? Increasing our awareness. We looked at a couple weeks ago, not just the awareness of things outside and around us, but ourselves. Where are we spiritually? What's going on with us? And then, Lord, giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand. Last week, we talked about taking up our cross, which is all about identifying with the death and the offense of the cross and identifying ourselves with Jesus, no matter what that looks like. And then today, we're going to look at making tough choices. And then next week, as we wrap up the series, embracing the gift of grace. And I'm so, please come to that service next week. I'm really excited because the entire foundation of all of this is not to earn favor with God, not to gain any kind of, Jesus took care of all that on the cross, amen? Jesus took it all. Jesus took all the pain, all the guilt, all the everything upon himself so that we could be forgiven. We no longer have to strive to earn his favor. So part of living out our faith and putting our faith into practice is embracing the gift of grace. So we're going to close with that next week. But today, making tough choices. And so what we're going to look at today, we've been showing clips from the film, Do You Believe? And so if you haven't seen the film, we showed it a few weeks back. We had Liam Matthews with us, who was one of the actors in the film, and the clip we're going to show is one of his scenes. And what a great weekend that was, wasn't it? It was just a fantastic weekend. I continue to just, you know, kind of bask in the glow of that wonderful time we shared as a church and as a community. And if you haven't seen the film, it's in the red box, so you can get it. You can rent it super, super cheap, and check it out. So here's a clip from the film. This is Bobby, the EMT who shared his faith with a dying man, and as a result of sharing his faith with a dying man, is then sued for having made that decision made that choice, and now he's confronted with the choice of, is he going to recant what he did, or is he going to accept the consequences of what it meant to share his faith with someone? And here's an interaction with his wife that we saw in the film. Check this out. So that was a tough choice that he was going to have to make, and if you've seen the film, you know exactly how that ended up playing out in his life. Life is full of choices. Life is full of choices. Consider the choices you've made already just today. You made the choice to get out of bed. Congratulations, you got out of bed this morning. But that was a choice. You could have kept hitting the snooze button over and over and over again. I had a youth director when I was growing up, and he used to call it the sloth button. You know, hit the sloth button. Oh, man, so every time I hit that now, I think about that. You know, 20, 30 years ago, that's when he shared that with us. But you made the decision to get up, to get out of bed, okay? Then you made a decision about, what you were going to have for breakfast today. It was going to be a big breakfast, out for breakfast, you know, eggs, bacon, sausage, or, you know, just, you know, bowl of cereal, maybe a protein shake, or maybe your choice was to not have any breakfast at all. And then you had to choose what you were going to wear today. And you were thinking, am I going to wear that outfit? Am I going to wear that outfit? Those pants, that shirt. And I chose this shirt, and I was like, I hope Jared doesn't wear the same shirt, because Jared Nunes has got the same shirt. So I'm like, I hope Jared doesn't wear this. I almost texted him, hey, what shirt are you wearing today? And I was like, I don't do that, you know, we did that in high school. We don't do that anymore. What are you going to wear? And then, am I going to go to church today? And if I go to church today, what service am I going to attend? The early service or the late service? And then you walk in the building, and where am I going to sit? Am I going to sit where I normally sit in my regular spot? And I haven't quite figured that out. I've figured out for some of you. You know, I haven't figured out if you've got kind of like your spot yet. Are you sitting in your spot? Are you going to try somewhere new? And then some of you are right now thinking about lunch already, you know, and like, what am I going to do for lunch today? You know, maybe you got something cooking at home, or where are we going to go out to eat, or things of that nature. Choice after choice after choice. Life is full of choices, and some of those choices are tough. Some of those choices are difficult. We see that in the Bible, full of example of choices. The Garden of Eden, Abraham offering his son Isaac upon the altar. Peter, who walked on water, got out of the boat and walked out toward Jesus. The prodigal son, you know, he comes to himself. He kind of realizes, you know, the mistakes he's made. Like, what am I doing here? I could be at home. Makes the choice to go home and be with his father, and on and on and on it goes. So what I want us to do is take a look at one of those examples with one of my favorite stories, and that's Elijah and the prophets of Baal. So 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we're going to be now for the rest of the morning. 1 Kings chapter 18, and that's page 258. So if you've got one of those adventure Bibles we handed out, that's where that is. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 40. Let's take a look at this story. Again, one of my favorites. I'm going to read the entire thing, so it's a little bit lengthy, so stay with me. But I hope for those of you that have heard the story, it will just, you know, ring fresh in your mind. And if you've never heard this story before, strap in, hang on to your seats, because this one is pretty cool. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse number 20. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel, and Elijah came near to all the people and said, how many prophets were there? We see it in the verse 19, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, so 850. Okay, 850 are there assembled. Elijah comes near to all the people, verse 21, and says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken. So let's have a test. Which God is the real God? Whichever one rains down fire, that's the true God. Then Elijah, verse number 25, said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first. You go first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Verse 30. Then Elijah says to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Putting our faith into action often requires making tough choices. Putting our faith into action often requires making tough choices. Sometimes the choices are easy. Sometimes the choices are obvious. Sometimes the choices are filled with great enthusiasm or effort or encouragement. But sometimes they are tough. Sometimes they are difficult. And this goes to the heart of a lot of what we've spoken of throughout the course of the series, because this is a series that's designed to really get us thinking and really get us processing the realities of what discipleship and following Jesus is all about, and that it is not always easy. It is always worth it, but it is not always easy. And sometimes there are tough choices to be made. And we read about that here as we go through this text in 1 Kings chapter number 18. So let me just share a few things with you this morning that I hope will be a help. And then we're going to close our service by observing communion, which is what we do the first Sunday of every month here at Adventure. Okay? So number one, tough choices are sometimes faced alone. Tough choices are sometimes faced alone. It's just Elijah. It's just him. You've got all the people, you've got all the prophets, you've got all the people that are against, and you've got one person standing alone, choosing to do the right thing and challenging others to do the right thing. You know, you may be here and you may say, you know, Pastor Greg, I'm the only Christian in my workplace. I'm the only Christian in my class. I'm the only Christian on my team. I'm the only Christian in the section that I work in. Hey, there are plenty of people throughout Scripture that have gone it alone. And sometimes the tough choices come to us when we are alone. But let me do a quick parenthesis, just a quick side note here. Because I want us to be a part of a thought process that encourages not letting people be alone, but doing it together. And I want to say just a quick word to you husbands and wives that are here today, okay? Husbands and wives, you need to be there for each other. You shouldn't have to face the tough choices alone. Let me encourage you to work and pray and process and contemplate as a team together. So, husbands, lead your families. Don't leave all the choices to your wife. Dads, you need to be the one saying, we're going to church tomorrow. You need to be the one who's asking the blessing at the meals. And that doesn't mean you can't share it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying we abdicate our responsibility many times. We abdicate our role because we're just not willing to make the choices that are necessary for the betterment of our family, the betterment of our spouse. I want you to be challenged about that. Work as a team together. Okay? Wives, really quick, something for you as well. Don't constantly second guess the decisions your husband is making. We often get in this back and forth where it's like, man, I don't agree. I get it. We're dense sometimes. I cop to it. Okay, we don't often make the best decisions or the best choices. But when you constantly second guess those choices and you constantly second guess those decisions, all you're going to cause is for him to clam up and quiet up and stop making any decisions or choices at all, and then you're going to be frustrated because he's not making any choices, not making any decisions, not leading. Let him lead. But do it together. That's my challenge. That's my encouragement for you today, is to do it together, because there are oftentimes we face tough choices alone. We face those things alone. But my hope and prayer for every marriage here today would be that you not face those choices alone, but that you have a partner in life, your spouse, that you're able to walk through those choices together. So let me encourage you to really think about that and process that as we go throughout this morning. We have friends, we have family, we have church, we have mentors, but every once in a while you're going to be out there all by yourself with a choice to make. So don't shrink back from the fact that every once in a while, sometimes there's going to be a tough choice you have to make and you may have to face it alone. Just like Elijah did, okay? Tough choices are sometimes faced alone. Number two, tough choices remind us of the need for spiritual discipline. Tough choices remind us of the need for spiritual discipline. I love the imagery that we see in verse number 30 of Elijah repairing the altar of God. Elijah says to all the people, come near to me, and all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. The altar and the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was the centerpiece for the worship of God in this time and with these people. And it had been obliterated. It had been disbanded. There was no worship going on. There was no connection going on between God and his people. He had to repair the altar before the fire could come down, before the choice could be made. The altar needed to be repaired. And that can so oftentimes describe our current circumstance. God's people here, how long are you going to halter, are you going to limp between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And there was no outcry. The Lord, he has got... The people answered him not a word. They were paralyzed. They were paralyzed in the choice that was before them. And I would contend this morning that part of the reason they were paralyzed and not being able to make the choice was because they had gone so far away from the recognition of God's hand upon them through the course of their regular worship of God. God's people weren't ready to make the right choice, because they had gotten so far away from their understanding of worship and adoration and trust and reverence for the Almighty. They weren't ready. They weren't equipped. They weren't prepared to make the right choice because they had not engaged in the spiritual discipline of worship of the Almighty God. Now, we totally get this when it comes to physical discipline, right? We totally understand that. I mean, whether we engage in it or not, whether we participate in it or not is one thing, but we certainly get it in a few weeks. You know, some of you have, followed some of my, exploits on Facebook and running, and exercising and doing more, than I should. And I'm not quite active duty. I'm kind of reserves. I'm kind of in the reserves. I'm a little bit more of a weekend warrior, when it comes to those things. But there's a race coming up, and it's on the bulletin board out there in the hallway. It's the 5K, it's the Turkey Trot. It's benefiting Hands of Hope, and and Christy put it up, and I kind of walked by it like this, like, I don't want to be reminded of another race, you know, that's going on. But I'm thinking about running it, okay? I'm thinking about being involved in it. It's the 5K that I do, you know, around Riverbend School typically, so I'm familiar with that. I live over there. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll participate in that. Well, here, check this out. If I decide to participate in that race, I better not spend the next 3 weeks just eating potato chips and pizza and pop. Those are three food groups, by the way. Pizza and potato chips and pop. And, you know, just watching TV and having my kids bring me the remote, you know, because I'm too lazy to get out of my chair. You know, if I'm going to do that, I've got to start doing some things today and tomorrow. I'll start doing some things tomorrow that are going to demonstrate the physical discipline that I need to get ready for when that race runs. We all get that, right? Does that make sense to everybody? The same thing happens spiritually. God knows what's going to be happening in your life in 3 weeks. God knows what's going to be happening in your life in 3 months, in 3 years. God knows the choices that you're going to be facing down the road. The problem is we're not doing the things we're not spiritually disciplining ourselves today to prepare ourselves for when that choice is going to be coming. It reminds us of the value, the need for spiritual discipline. Could it be that we're having a tough time making the right choice because we are so spiritually weak and anemic that we simply don't have the wherewithal to do it? Let that really challenge us today. Is the altar in your life broken down? Is the altar in your life in disarray? Is the altar in your life in need of repair? Let me encourage you. Reading the Word of God, praying, being in church, regular fellowship with God's people. These are not just things that we do because they're nice things to do and they're the Christian things to do. They are spiritual disciplines that we need to ingrain into our culture and DNA to prepare us for the tough choices that may come our way. So maybe as you're, you know, that imagery, you know, maybe it's, you know, you think of, you know, repairing that altar. Maybe you're not spending time in the Word of God. You know, Sunday is the only day you're touching the Bible. You're bringing it to church. That's the only day you're not reading it at all, or open up the app on your phone, or whatever you're doing. Maybe that's a piece that needs to be repaired in your life. Prayer, regular fellowship with God's people at church, giving, you name it. What are those spiritual disciplines in your life that are lacking? Let me encourage you to take this imagery home with you and realize the value and the need for spiritual discipline. This verse, Romans 12:1, we've looked at verse 2 several times, but look at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, the altar, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual what? Your worship. And we see that played out in a very physical, tangible way in 1 Kings chapter number 18. We make time for the things that are important to us. We do. We make time for the things that are important to us. We make those things a priority. You know, we're involved in parties, and we're involved in events, and we're involved in things, and we're involved in those. And do those. Enjoy it. Live life, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy life. But recognize that we make choices about things. We make decisions about things. We make priorities about things because those things are important to us. And when it comes to the spiritual disciplines, if I have time, if it fits in my schedule, if I don't have anything else going on, and then we're confronted with tough choices and we're paralyzed and we wonder why. Let's be challenged about that today. Number three, tough choices require a posture of prayer. A posture of prayer. We don't have time this morning to get into all of Elijah's shenanigans this morning, but boy, are they fun. Man alive, this back and forth, this bantering, this mocking that's going on between Elijah and the prophets. You know, hey, you know, maybe he's in the bathroom. You know, you got to wait till he comes out of the bathroom. Maybe you got to speak louder. Maybe he's awake. Maybe he's on a trip. And there's this back and forth, this crazy, chaotic scene that's going on. And I referenced this a few weeks ago, and this is a prime example of the kind of thing that I hope God lets us see one day. I would love to see this one day. You know, Cineplex number one, you know, is you know, Noah and the Ark, and Cineplex number two is the crossing of the Red Sea, and Cineplex number three is Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Like, I would love to see this whole story played out. Now, maybe when I get there, I won't care. It won't mean anything to me. But today, like, man, I would love to see this because it looks like such an incredible, dynamic experience that they were going through. And all this craziness, all this chaos, cutting themselves and yelling and screaming. And when all that is done, check him out. All that is finished. All that craziness is behind him. And he comes near in verse number 36. And I picture him on his knees saying, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Notice the contrast between Elijah and the prophets. All they can to get his attention, all they can to yell and scream and cut themselves and all the shenanigans they were a part of. And Elijah prays, and man, no sooner does he say amen, whoosh, the fire comes down and consumes everything. Not just the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, the water, everything gone. The power of God displayed in answer to his prayer. Friends, we got to pray. We got to pray. We just need to pray. And we need to stop saying we need to pray and start actually praying. We need to stop telling people we're going to pray for them and start actually praying for them. What do we do? Well, we're going to develop a strategy. We're going to manipulate the situation. We're going to try to figure it out. And you know what? Every time we do that, all we're doing is following the example of the prophets of Baal. That's all we're doing. Let's come before God for our families. Men, come before God for your wives. Wives, come before God for your husbands. Come before God for your children. Come before God for this church. Come before God for your pastor and our staff. Come before God with your finances. Come before God with the circumstances with your kids or with your parents. Don't relegate prayer to this kind of side, okay, I've done everything else, so now I guess I'll pray. We need to have a posture of prayer. Tough choices require a posture of prayer in our lives. Check this out. God will answer a prayer that is designed to bring glory to his name and draw others to him. That's the kind of prayer God will answer. You know, God doesn't always answer the prayers the way we want them answered, does he? He doesn't for me. He didn't for the Apostle Paul. I kept praying for God to answer, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. God doesn't always answer prayers the way we want them answered. But God will always answer a prayer that is designed to bring glory to his name and draw others to him. External. What does he pray? I'm going to read it one more time. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. A prayer designed to bring glory to his name and draw others to him. Man, let's be praying. You're facing a choice. You're facing a tough choice, a difficult decision. How much time are you praying about that? Go to God. Find a closet. Find a place. Find quiet moments where you can pour your heart out to God. We're so oftentimes making choices and making decisions, and God's will and God's thoughts about those are so oftentimes an afterthought. Let's pray. Let's have a posture of prayer. And then number four, lastly, tough choices always demand a direction. They always demand direction. You know, a choice is always made. A choice to not make a choice is still what? A choice. There's always a choice made. And even though these people were like, they answered not a word, and when God demonstrated the power, the people saw it, verse 39, fell on their faces and said, one of the great understatements of all scripture, the Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! No kidding. He just rained down fire on this place. He just demonstrated his power in a marvelous manifest way. Of course, yes, he is God. Choose him. We're either following the word and will of our Father and doing the right thing, or we're not. Choosing to put our faith into action or not. Choosing to impact our family in a positive way or not. Choosing to make a difference in the lives of the people God has chosen to put there or not. A choice is always made. What are you choosing? And more importantly, who are you choosing? He said, hey, if God is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Make your choice. It was tough for them because they had not built in themselves the spiritual discipline to make it, but when God showed up and God demonstrated his power, they made the right choice. Who are you choosing? Are you choosing Galaxy Greg? Where it's about me? Insert your name there, by the way. Okay, that's the point of that illustration. Okay? I don't want to start calling out names. I'll get in trouble. You know, Galaxy Greg, you know, it's about me? Or is it about others? Guys, what are you going to do this week to demonstrate to your family that they're more valuable to you than your stuff that's going on? Wives, children, parents. You know, if we all started acting that way, it would make a huge difference. Most of the problems that we face, most of the issues that we face in our relationships are selfishness. Just selfishness. I want it. I want what I want, what I want. I want what I want when I want it. It's all about me. It's all about my convenience. It's about my ease. It's about what makes me feel good. It's about what makes me feel better. And when we allow that mindset to slip into our DNA, it begins to affect the impact that God wants us to have. He says, hey, you're here for a reason. You're here to impact this world. You're here to impact this community for Jesus Christ. It's not about you, it's about them. What are you doing to make the right choice to do that? So where are you today? Where are you today? Maybe you're here and you're limping between two opinions, like these people were. Just paralyzed. What's our question? Do you believe? If we believe, if we say we believe, then what are we going to do about it? How are we going to demonstrate that? How are we going to show that? How are we going to put that into action? Even when the choices are tough. Even when we face it alone. Even when we recognize that our spiritual disciplines, we've got to do some repair of the altar of our heart. Even when we recognize that our prayer life is not what it needs to be and we need to be coming to God first rather than last. And recognizing that a choice is always made. A choice is always made. Let's make the right choice and impact this world for him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time to go this morning, and thank you for this text, this story. Lord, I love these stories. Thank you for giving them to us. We don't always understand everything that's going on, but I'm just grateful for what we were able to learn and glean from this account in 1 Kings 18 today, and I pray that it would fall upon receptive hearts this morning, Lord. You know what's going on in each heart and each life. You know the things that we battle, the things that we struggle with, the selfishness, the desire to promote self, the tearing down of the altar of our hearts. Lord, just do a work in our hearts today, Lord. Just help us to realize that we're making choices every single day that impact people, impact relationship, impact our ability to be the salt and light, the hands and feet of Jesus that you've called us to be. So, Father, encourage us and challenge us this morning, I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask in closing this morning, if you're here and you say, PG, I'm at a place where I'm making tough choices. There's some tough choices in my life, and I've learned some things today. You've shared some things today. God's Word and His Spirit have spoken to me today in a way that says, I realize I need to make the right choices. I need to be in a team relationship with my spouse. I need to have a posture of prayer. I need to be building up the altar of worship in my heart by developing these spiritual disciplines That's my prayer today, Pastor Greg. Would you pray for me in the closing prayers? Anybody who'd say it by the uplifted hand today? Thank you, thank you. All over the room, all over the room. May that uplifted hand indicate your desire to make the choice that honors the Lord and honors what the Lord wants to do through you as you walk out of this place today. May God use you and may God bless you. Father, thank you for each hand that was lifted this morning, and I pray your blessing upon each and every one. You know exactly what they're going through. You know exactly what they're facing, and I pray for victory. I pray for strength. I pray for forgiveness and grace, because certainly we all fall short, and we certainly let people down. I pray, Lord, for just a spirit of reconciliation to permeate this room this morning. And Father, when we walk out these doors and when we're confronted with the choices, some easy, some tough, that we would remember the impact that those choices have. Bless us, encourage us, strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.